On this episode of the podcast, we are going to be talking about the importance of virtual assistants and other done-for-you service providers niching down. And not only niching down in the market that they offer their services, but also what services they offer. This episode is probably one of my favorites because this topic I'm so passionate about, because I want to see all you beautiful ladies and gents kick serious tush in the online space, and this is the number one way to do so. So this episode is for you if you're still on the fence about niching down as a virtual assistant, and I want you to listen to this so me and Adriana can change your mind. Welcome back to this episode of the Virtually Free Podcast. On today's episode, I have with me Adriana McDermott. Welcome.
Hi, so great to be here.
I'm happy to have you on the podcast. So before we jump in though, you are also known as another name, sort of, right?
Yes. So
on social.
I don't use my full name on social. I go by Ava and the Bee.
And the reason I say this is because we had connected before that I realized that you were Ava and the Bee. And it's a little yeah. embarrassing. I haven't told her this until right now. So I was like, because obviously we've been emailing and I know that's your email address, but I just didn't put the two and two together. Goodness. But I'm super excited to chat with you today because you are a fellow virtual assistant. Like I was /M/ whatever you want to call it. So why don't you tell me and the listeners a little bit about how you got started in the virtual assistant space and what direction you decided to grow your business in and where you are now?
Yeah, of course. So I'm behind Ava and the Bee. We're a virtual assistant and digital marketing strategy company for wedding professionals. So I've been in the wedding industry for 10 years. I got started at 18, just making bridal accessories. I moved into retail. And then my senior year of college, I co-opened a wedding planning, bridal boutique, and florist company called Ivory and Bow in Savannah, Georgia. And I was there for 4 years. And then I hit burnout. The wedding industry is really intense. I had worked so many weekends that I needed a break. So I sold my shares of the company and kind of just took on a straight up 9-to-5 just to kind of pay the bills while I figured out what I was going to do. I started going to a workday like group, just casual people getting together, having coffee and working together. And there are a few girls there that were mostly wedding professionals, and were two photographers named Wendy and Callie, and they were just talking about how they needed this thing called a virtual assistant. And I had never heard of the term. Like, I never heard of virtual assistant. I was like, I don't know what that is. But from what they were describing, it was stuff I could do, like blogging and content and digital marketing strategies. And I was like, oh, I can do that. So I kind of just started doing it to help them out. I didn't think too much of it. But before I knew it, word of mouth spread. I was completely booked. I didn't have a website, didn't have a bank account. So I kind of was like, okay, this is something. So after a few months of just being booked, I went ahead and did the website, the Instagram, and I've been doing it ever since. I was able to take it full-time last summer. And now I'm in the process of growing a team so we can help even more wedding professionals.
Well, first of all, congratulations, because that's all amazing and such. It's hard. I feel like people listening to this know how hard growing a business can be.
Yes.
So it's great that you are seeing the success in the wedding industry as a virtual assistant and your agency is growing, and that's really awesome. But I love that you mentioned too, and I'm gonna call this out because we're going to get to the reason, or at least the reason I think, other than your exceptional skills, why you were able to become booked out in the wedding industry as a virtual assistant without a website and without mm-hmm. really doing any of your own marketing. Because that's not the norm for a lot of virtual assistants, especially in the beginning stages anyway. Mm-hmm. I was also, I would say lucky, but I feel like that's not giving me enough credit, but I fell into a similar situation where I realized that without a website, I had all these clients and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I'm doing so well. And that was also because I had, and what we're going to be talking about on the, on this episode is the idea of niching down as a virtual assistant. And, you are a great example. I would say we are too, but I feel like you're a much better example of the power of niching down and how you can go to a specific market and really shine bright and kick ass and build your own empire and take it over and everything like that. So I'm really excited to talk to you today about niching because it's one thing I talk about all the time. And I'm so happy we're going to finally found another virtual assistant that agrees with me.
Yes, it's so good.
Not that other people don't, but awesome. So why don't you explain a little bit to me, because I don't know your journey, about how you finally decided that, okay, like this is niching down and I am realizing that this is the way to really skyrocket my business.
Yeah. So for me, I just started realizing that when I got started, you know, I didn't necessarily start just in the wedding industry. I just happened to have that experience. And I just kind of have a vague idea. And I kind of took on everyone at first, just like every other virtual assistant. You know, I took on graphic designers and web designers, and not that they weren't incredible clients, because they are. Like, it was nothing, you know, personal. I just started realizing, you know, who my ideal client was and who I was passionate about helping. So for me, I started niching down when I started realizing that my specific skill set was specifically to a certain market. So I didn't necessarily have some skills that might have branched out to other markets. So, you know, when I didn't have an ideal client, I struggled with creating a connection. I struggled with that audience and trying to figure out, how do I brand a company? What do I put on my website? You know, I found it so much harder. But when I decided to just take that leap and just delete everything that said general VA and just said, I am only a virtual assistant for wedding professionals, it blew up. That was the key moment for me, was just accepting that that's what I was and, you know, rechanging my messaging, rechanging my branding. And I think for me, creating an ideal client avatar really changed it when I started actually focusing on that specific client.
Yeah. And how did your marketing change? Like, I would love to hear that evolution, or whatever you want to call it, like going from the general VA who kind of did everything to being like, no, I just am a virtual assistant for wedding professionals.
Yeah. So it kind of just grew because, like I said, I started noticing that also I could charge a premium, you know, because I was marketing such a more specific audience. So for me, starting to structure, okay, I honestly just took a step back and thought, A, what am I getting asked the most? So what are the packages that people are requesting? Because for a while I was kind of just like, what do you need? You know, like I didn't necessarily have set packages. So once I started hearing the same requests over and over and over again, that's how I started structuring my packages, was based off that. And once I started kind of targeting that, so in terms of like my messaging, I really just started saying, you know, virtual assistant, digital marketing, and social media for wedding professionals. And that includes photographers, planners. And I just started making every single thing I shared targeted just to them. I no longer said that I did anything else. I only said I did that. So I would say, you know, I do blogging for wedding photographers. So I think by fine-tuning exactly what I said I did, it helped. And I think a lot of times people are scared to do that. They're like, oh, but I don't want someone to not book me because I don't do it. And the answer is, no, that's okay. Like, I mean, I obviously had plenty of people who I had to turn down when I started to say, oh no, I don't work in that industry. I only work with this industry. And it definitely wasn't easy. It's never easy to turn down an inquiry because they think that you work with everyone. But I found that I was able to really get more inquiries that were closer to what I wanted to do.
I love that you mentioned that, because I think that's the one thing that is at really the heart of everything, is that they're like new VAs, the ones that haven't even gotten any clients yet. So this would be even what's the right word I'm looking for? I don't know. But it would be, there's more emphasis here. It's like, I don't want to shut down the ability to get clients because I haven't gotten any. I'm just getting my feet or traction or whatever. And I want to work for everyone because then I have a, you know, much bigger chance of casting a net and getting someone than saying, I just work for people in the, like, real estate industry or, you know, wedding or whatever, or if you can even niche down much more specifically if you want. But I almost feel like this trial and error of like doing the general VA thing is almost like a rite of passage sometimes. Like I talked to a few people that, you know, are in the same kind of space. You've been in for a few years. You did that general VA stuff. You're doing like generalized work, just taking whatever the client or potential client wanted and being like, yeah, I'll work with it, to being like burnt out, hating their business, wanting to quit, wanting to go back to that 9 to 5, or just, you know, saying peace out, it was fun. Instead of being like, you know what, like what everyone is telling you, niche down, just like pick something. And if it doesn't work out, you can then switch and do to a different market. But it's just so funny. And I'd love to know, like, what are your thought processes on it? Like, do you remember what went through your mind when you were kind of stuck in that process?
Yeah. So when I first got started, you know, like I said, I did a lot more generalizing in terms of what I offered. And I didn't, you know, have packages. But I think for me, it wasn't just niching down on the industry, but also what I offered. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people offer too many things. And I think it's A, confusing for your client. No one wants to read a PDF that has 50 pages of services. They're going to get to page 4 and be like, okay, I know. And 2, it's burnout, because you're stuck doing a lot of things you don't like to do. So I kind of feel like niching down comes in 2 forms. You know, one is the services and one is who you work with. So maybe you're someone who's like, you know, I don't want a very specific industry, but you want like a generalized industry, then you can start niching down on what you offer. Like, you don't have to offer 50 packages. If you are a Pinterest pro, offer Pinterest. You don't need to offer 75 other services on top of Pinterest, because if Pinterest is what you love to do and what drives you every day, why are you doing the other thing? So I think I kind of learned that as well, was just, okay, it's not only who I'm offering, but what I'm offering. So I started, you know, fine tuning. How can I join packages together? How can I, you know, offer more to my clients? Because I think you do a disservice when you offer too much. I really do.
100%. I totally agree with you. Because I have done that. I'm like, yeah. Because again, I'd also like to flip it. Like I think I'm quite capable as a virtual assistant. Yeah. So many other people, I'm sure I know you're very capable. And I feel like a little bit is like our ego being like, no, but we're good at everything. So let's say that we're good at everything. But as you said, it does a huge disservice to yourself and your business. And you like 99% of the time end up hating at least a part of what you've just created by not following like the niching down ideas or in either services or who your target market is. Exactly. But I did the same thing. Like I was like, oh yeah. Like, and then I was like, I'm dying. This is the third time of burnout. Like I need to fix this. Mm-hmm. I need to switch. I need to do less. I need to become specialized, because the biggest thing for me, I was noticing that my skill level was everything that I could do. I could do a bunch of different things and I was average at all of them, but exactly. I don't want to be average. I wanted to be exceptional. And you can't do that if you're doing everything.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, you know, how you're offering almost a disservice sometimes mm-hmm. when you spend years doing everything is, like you said, you're good, but are you great? And if you're not great, then you shouldn't be offering that. And it doesn't mean you're bad at it. It just means if that's not something that you're really passionate about or getting incredible results, then just don't do it. Like that's totally okay. You know, like there's nothing wrong, and it doesn't make you a lesser, you know, creative if you don't do it all.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we probably have to shed light on like how society makes us think that we can literally do everything and then hold the weight of the earth up and all this stuff and do it, you know, sun-kissed and thin and acne-free and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just, I just want to, every VA that I talk to that is in that space of like, well, like, I really want to make this work and I'm just like not getting the traction I want. I'm like, okay, what services do you offer? You know, seven pages. Okay. Who's your market? Well, anyone who will hire me. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. There's the beginning. So, and it really does. I truly believe it does start with niching down, like other than maybe get your brain like in game mode. But I think for me, the biggest thing was learning to niche down. And that's why I get so passionate about it too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's so many benefits to niching, and I know it. And I totally get that, because I know it's scary to sometimes think about targeting less people, because I feel like obviously one of the things you hear is, but I'm, you know, I'm fishing in a smaller pond, But there are so many benefits. Like one of it is less competition. If you're able to become an expert in a field, there's a lot less people that you're having to necessarily compete head on with, and you have more visibility, you know, because you're actually reaching the right clients. And those clients are much more willing to purchase your product than just someone who's like general kind of floating out there. When you're able to start toning in, I think you can really target people who are ready to purchase. And that's one thing I noticed was, you know, I'm now targeting people who are actually ready to take that leap when before I wasn't.
Exactly. And like, that makes perfect sense, because as you establish yourself as an expert, people in that industry are like, oh man, she's doing great. Like, I want her in my business. She's look like she's kicking butt. Whereas like, if you're just a general VA for anyone and you're writing that social media post, how are you supposed to market to someone in the real estate industry, in the wedding industry, and in construction and on the same post? You just can't. And that's what effectively you're trying to do by not niching down.
Exactly.
And like, I don't know about you, but like, that would be the most confusing post. Like, how would you?
And you have to like switch your brain off, you know, you have to switch your brain from, okay, now I'm working in real estate, now I'm working in this. And you know, that takes time. You know, anytime you have to switch your brain like that, like that's time out of your day that you're wasting just trying to keep up.
Yeah, exactly. And we really underestimate, actually, I recorded another podcast today. And we were talking about this and the idea of brain space and the capacity our brain has. And when we're in that state, and this is why burnout happens too, is because there's so many different parts of our brain trying to like improve and get better, and we're being pulled in all these directions, that we exhaust ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we really underestimate like how much like just the thoughts that happen and like the stress that comes with being a general VA too, really what can weigh on you.
Yeah, because your clients are like expecting you to be an expert at them.
Yeah.
But then if all your clients are different, then how can you like be an expert at all the things? And I know I struggled with that. You know, when I was working with stuff outside of the industry, I had to spend a lot more time doing research. Mm-hmm. And that's hours of my time where I'm, you know, maybe not getting paid or not getting paid as much just to try to keep up, you know? And then I started realizing, okay, if this client's actually taking 5 times longer because I don't know it, you know, and I'm trying to Google stuff about their industry, and I'm thinking, and that's when I started thinking, wait, why am I doing this? Why don't I just do stuff that I just already know and don't have to like Google every 5 minutes?
Yeah. And like, not, I'm going to say this because I don't want to set any expectations for some new virtual assistants out there.
Yeah, of course.
But like for me, like I have that experience happen in even my niche market. Because I mean, my net is cast a little bit wider than I maybe suggest my virtual assistants, but that's because I kind of established a presence there right before, like I have enough traction in that space right before it, like really, you really needed to like get down and specialize. And I'm in the coaching industry. And that being said, I don't work with like a few people and I only work with female coaches. But like one of my main coach, and she is someone I've been with for 2 years now, but 2 years ago when I still knew that niching down was important and I was doing it, I didn't know anything about real estate, like nothing, like I didn't even like nothing. Like it's embarrassing how much I didn't know about it. And it's a huge learning. It was a huge learning curve. And I was at that space where I was just functioning. I wasn't really thinking properly. I was just like, I've got all these clients. Like I was just about to like burn out for the third time. And I was like, I've got all these clients. I'm going to do everything. And in retrospect, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have taken her on because it just exasperated everything. Funny enough, she's the only client I have now. So happy I did, but you know, like, that was a lesson that I kind of learned. It worked out in my favor, but that's not always how it happens. And I'm just so happy that I found another virtual assistant that can jam about niching with me, because it's just so
And I love this subject. And I think it's so important, especially for people just getting started, to hear that it's okay. And it's also okay to take the time to find your niche. Like this isn't something that magically might happen overnight. it's something that does take time, and that's totally okay. And it's a learning curve, you know? That's why I think it's important at first to kind of try some different things and see what you love to do, because you might find a skill that you didn't realize you love to do.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Like the idea of trial and error is so important in business. And like, we're not saying, okay, find a niche, like a niche right now and stick with that for the rest of your life. Like, we're just saying, get on that path, you know, exactly. Like start thinking about this, like start really getting that in motion, because the longer you wait, the more work you're going to have to do in the long run.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's just, it's funny because I always wonder how my business would have looked like if I didn't accidentally niche down, because I just got a buttload of referrals, kind of like you. You were saying you ended up with like fully booked without a website. It was all like wedding professionals. And even though that you can, I think my understanding from your timeline is you kind of knew you were already going in that direction. It kind of was like that extra push from the universe to say, yeah, you are going here.
Exactly. You know? So, yeah. It was kind of general. And then like you said, yeah, the universe was like, no, really.
Yeah. And I love that. And I mean, I feel like that proves like the trial and error aspect, right? Like you will find your footing and then maybe you'll change it, you know, like maybe, yeah. And we're not saying like, or I'm not saying like in the next, like, or 30 days after you decide your niche, maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road, 10 years down the road, things can change. And people are just so set on the fact that like what they decide now is what will be there forever. And that's just not true. And the industry is so new, like the online space and the evolution that we're about to experience in the next like 10 or 20 years. I'm so excited because I'm really curious to see how it's going to go.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I encourage people that it's okay if your business changes and it's okay if your offerings change. Mm-hmm. Like that is 100% okay. Like my offerings change, you know, like I'm currently in the process by fall to completely change all of my packages in marketing, but that's okay. Like, you know, like there's nothing wrong if you change it. Cause like you said, you know, you grow, you evolve. And that's, I think that's kind of the beauty of when you own your own business is you're allowed to do that. And I think that's such a benefit that people don't realize is like when you work a lot of jobs, you're not really allowed to evolve. Yeah. But we have the blessings that we can evolve as much as we want. And it doesn't matter. Like it's totally fine.
Yeah. And it's so awesome. Like it's just so great. It's like a power kind of like over your business that is just like it's, it feels so freeing.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's very freeing.
Well, good luck on that. That's not an easy feat to redo everything.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, and that's another thing is it does take time. Like I'm not jumping and announcing it tomorrow. Like I'm taking the months needed because I'm, you know, I'm okay that things take time. So slowly.
One of the four people in the world. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so impatient. So I'm like, oh, when's this happening? You know, like
I'm really impatient, but thank goodness I have like people around me that are patient, and like my boyfriend regularly reminds me to slow down.
That's so great though. Like sometimes you need those like people that are so far removed from, I mean, I actually don't really know that situation. I'm just assuming, but like removed from like your actual business or whatever. And it's like, just chill, like just calm down, like just wait, you know?
Yes. Yeah. My boyfriend's getting his MBA right now. So like, he's so different minded, but it's great though, because he sees big picture. I see little picture. So sometimes it's nice to have a big picture person be like, but what's the end goal?
Yeah.
Instead of like, awesome. What do you want to do tomorrow?
Yeah. That's a great, I mean, that's a great partner to have in your biz and your life too. So you are a lucky lady.
Thanks. He's pretty cool.
I like him. He's my boyfriend. I can't speak today. Adriana, it was so wonderful chatting with you about niching down, and it was so great to have you on the podcast, and I'm so happy that we were able to connect for this interview.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I always ask our experts or my experts to leave the audience with some words of wisdom, but I've just restructured the question. Ooh. So I'm going to change it a tiny bit, but essentially it's pretty much the same. So my question to you is, what is the number one thing that you want the listeners to take away from this episode and just from getting to know you that they can then implement in their business?
So it's kind of a slight two-part. So the first is that it's okay to niche down and to not be scared of it and to know that it's okay to take time with it and you don't have to jump overnight, and that, you know, at first it might seem like you're targeting a smaller pool, but you are able to get better clients, higher paying clients, and avoid burnout when you start to do stuff you really love to do. And my second thing would to be really start taking the time to think about who your ideal target audience is. And you can call it like an ideal client avatar or however you want to word it. But I think that once that for me was one of the biggest things to help me niche down was when I actually picked who I was branding to. So like every single thing I post is to one avatar. And she is very detailed, but like that's who I post to, is that one person every time. And I do think it helps. And it sometimes it can sound like, but that's only one person, but it really does work. I heard it all from Amy Porterfield, and she's always right. So it works.